Hello.
Hi.
Hi, dude.
Hi.
Hi.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just being dicked around by the car dealership and the insurance company.
Oh. How are they dicking you around?
Well, I talked to like the guy who's in charge of my car at the body shop, and basically he's saying like that their shop rate is higher than the rate that the insurance company like quoted the labor at and the estimate, but like they're not working it out between themselves. Like I have to call the insurance company to see if they'll approve paying this higher rate because they won't keep the lower rate, you know. And I don't know, it just seems like a nightmare. And it's like been a week and no work has been done on my car yet, and I'm paying out the ass for the car rental, you know.
Yeah, I think you need to get on the phone and pull a BF. And, just flip out on them and just really be like, no, I'm not talking. Like, please put your man, put your manager on the phone. Like, I want to talk to your supervisor. This is not right.
I'm just really like not like I hate this stuff more than
You
anything in the whole world, and I'm
know.
not good at being the person who throws a fit, you know?
It's,
Like
but yeah, it's like,
I'm
but you just be like, look, like, just like, you can't put me in this position, Like, they shouldn't be putting you in that position.
like, what am I supposed to do? They won't pay the rate that it costs to get it fixed there. I'm supposed to what? Take my car out of there and pay a storage fee from having it be there for a week when I have no car and can't get anywhere. And like, you know, I just, I don't know. I'm really like. Then they should have told me that I could only fix it at their approved shop in the first place or something, you know. And instead, they said you can have it done wherever you want, you
Right.
know.
I mean, you should say that to them.
Yeah.
Say, you told me this, stick by it. Like, really. I think that don't let yourself be the victim.
I'm trying not to, but I really feel like it already, you know? Just like. Anyway, like, I hate this kind of stuff, like, more than anything in the whole world. It's just torture. I thought that if I took it to the dealership, it would just be easy, but these guys are assholes, too, you know?
Yeah. They're all assholes. I think that they're all assholes, Hello?
Hello.
Hello, sorry, I thought I lost you.
Hello.
Can you hear
Hello.
me?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's not through there. Anyway, my anxiety levels just went up by a factor of 10, you know? I wish this guy would have just left me a detailed message, like, last week, you know, instead of, like, dicking me around, like, with, like, you know, having me calling back and then not answering the phone when I call and then
Say
taking,
that
like,
to him.
2 days to call
Why
me
didn't
back,
you do
you
this?
know?
Why did you do this to me? You're dicking me around.
I mean, like, is it so hard to leave me a fucking voicemail that tells me some information? Like, I can't stand people who leave me voicemails and just want me to, oh, just call me back, but then they're always unavailable. You know, I'm just like, just tell me. Just tell me what it is, you know? Like, I'm really busy. You probably won't get me on the phone, you know?
I think that, like
And the
I
fucking car dealership owns the car rental place. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like to their advantage to keep my car as long as possible. It's
Right. I mean,
awful.
I think that in my experience, sometimes as a consumer, you're just fucked. Sometimes you have a certain agency. For example, I had this situation where I like got extremely overcharged on my cell phone because MCI WorldCom, irony, irony, was so far behind, so out of it on their billing cycle. They were 6 months behind. So I was getting, it went 6 months without getting a bill, but yet my usage was so over that I had a couple of months where I had $300 bills, but yet had no way of telling that, right?
Yeah.
So I went through, I spent several months having shouting fights and writing nasty letters. And in the end, like, there was nothing I could do. You know, like, I went up the chain of command and up the chain of command and up the chain of command and up the chain of command. And at some point, it didn't matter because I'd already used it. But you're in a position where they're not going to get your business, you know, if they keep fucking around.
I know, but they don't give a shit whether they get my business or not. They're going to charge me some astronomical storage fee for storing my car for the past week if I don't choose to have my labor down there.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, if you take the car there and then decide not to have it fixed there, you have to pay a storage fee, which is, like, not covered by insurance.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God. Then you need to just...
You're going to be charged, like, the, you know, I mean, it's just, like, ridiculous.
Then you need to, you need to call the insurance people up and scream at them and tell them that they are going to work something out with a dealership. And they told you this, and now they're telling you something else, and there's a storage fee. And if you're furious, you know.
Well, whatever. I mean, I haven't talked to the insurance company yet, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even know if they're aware of what the problem is. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, Emron, who's, like, taking care of my whatever, like, in charge of my car at the Toyota place, is, like, a real slimy bastard. You know what I mean? And, like, so I don't even know if he's, like, communicated the rate problem difference with the insurance company, or if he's just trying to screw me over.
The other thing you can do is you can call the...
If he's trying to tell me that, like, I need to pay in cash, in addition to my deductibles, like, any difference between what the insurance company pays and what they're charging, which I think is total bullshit. So I told him not to touch my car until I talked to the insurance company, you know?
And I think you should also contact, you know, ask him who his supervisor is, tell the supervisor what's happening, tell him how dissatisfied you are, and tell him you want somebody else working on your car.
Yeah.
You have the right to do that. You know? Tell him you do not like the way this person is treating you. And, you know, you want someone else working on your car. And you want someone else communicating with you.
I feel like he's being really condescending to me, too, because I'm a girl, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's acting like I don't understand what he's saying to me, and I'm like, I understand, it's just unacceptable, you know? Like, so,
you know,
whatever.
Say that to him, you know? Say, you're being fucking condescending to me because I'm a woman, you know? And don't talk to me like I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, excuse me, I'm getting angry.
I just don't need any more stress. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying, but, like, me picking a fight with the guy at the car dealership is, like, not going to make me feel any better.
There's a difference between picking a fight and being assertive.
Listen, that's not going to do anything for me.
I think my fight is with the insurance company.
What'd
you say?
Not with this guy. My fight is with the insurance company, with who I haven't even talked to yet.
Right. That's true. But I mean,
he's what he is. You know, like, he runs, like, you know, he's like, whatever. Hello?
I'm here. I don't know. I just feel like if you sit there and you take it, you're going to end... I don't know.
Listen to me. I'm not going to sit here and take it. You know, I'm just, like, pissed off, and I'm... Anyway, I'm just annoyed that I even have to deal with it.
I know.
That's all I'm trying to say. Not that I'm not going to do anything. Obviously, I told him not to fix the car, and I'm calling the insurance company and trying to work it out, you know?
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Did the phone... the phone lost reception, I think.
What?
Did the phone lose reception? Hello?
Hey, hold up. My phone battery's dying. I have to plug it in.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Listen, I'm sorry, baby. I just felt like you were, you know, like, yelling at me about, like, and saying, don't just sit there and take it when I'm not just sitting here and taking it, that's all. You know? I'm doing the best I can. I'm just, like, complaining because I don't, you know, I'm just, like, annoyed that I have to deal with this. It's already been so stressful.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's already costing me, like, out the ass, you know?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hi.
Are you okay? What's wrong? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm having a glass of orange juice.
What?
I'm having a glass of orange juice.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I guess I misunderstood. And I'm sorry that I don't know. I guess that. I don't like dumb, slimy guys.
Yeah, me either. I don't think it's going to get any better by me asking for a different dumb, slimy guy. You know what I mean? Like, they're all motherfuckers, and they're just doing their job, actually. They're under a lot of pressure to, like, you know, like, make as much money as possible for the dealership, you know? He's probably doing his job well as far as the corporation is concerned, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just did.
My beef is with the insurance company, you know, who I haven't talked to yet.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sorry. I guess I didn't understand the whole story.
Like, if you had health insurance and they said you can go to any doctor you want to, but then, like, you go to any doctor you want to, and then they tell you, the health insurance company tells you, oh, well, we're only going to pay, like, 70% of that, even though we said we're going to pay 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of absurd.
No, it's really absurd. Maddening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently I feel stupid for, like, not realizing that I should, like, you know, I should have just asked the insurance company for who their recommended body shop is and taken it there, because I wouldn't have this hassle, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there isn't a good relationship between my insurance company and this car dealership, you know?
Yeah, it's so fucked up, because you end up, like, just going, getting shuffled to people that they're getting kickbacks from, or getting, you know, chummy with, or they own the business of, you know?
It's right. Like
this fucking car rental place that you've got.
Oh my god, I'm like, really paying too much for this, but it's also that, like, my friends are kind of being jerks right now, and, like, I cannot even imagine, you know, like, one of them agreeing to, like, help me go take this car back to that car rental place and go to somewhere else to get
it
for a
car. I think that's appalling, but, you know. You know, maybe, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, the place, there's places by LAX. I wonder if Eckstein will be willing to drive you over there one night on our way back from school.
It's just a logistical nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I have to take the car to North Hollywood and then get to the LAX.
Right, but the thing is, Eckstein goes to North Hollywood, you know, down through North Hollywood, and she could drive down the 101 to the 10 and over to LAX, and then drive the rest of the way to Long Beach at night. On her way back from class or something.
Yeah.
It's a thought.
Anyway, it's just a nightmare, you know? Like,
have you asked? I'm sorry, I shouldn't push this. I shouldn't push this.
Just, yeah, don't push me, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dude, I can't seem to be fucking up.
What?
I seem to be fucking up left and right.
No, dude, it's just, this is not the comfortable conversation I wanted to have with you.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Hello?
I'm sorry. I seem to be fucking everything up.
Not you. I'm just, it's just hard because I'm like, I feel like,
it almost feels like I'm gone before I'm gone here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, people are, like, acting like every, that, you know, it's, that our, you know, relationships are already over or already, you know, changed or, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm still here and nothing's really, like, I'm not, I don't know, it's just, do you know what I'm saying?
They're performing your absence.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I just feel really all alone, you know?
Yeah, it's really not very much fun. I mean, I remember when Kevin and Haruko were doing that kind of, you know? Kevin especially. But at the very least with Kevin, I could at least, you know, be mean and aggressive back. And then we would, you know, wrestle. And I would punch him on the shoulder, and he would say, "Don't punch me on the shoulder," and we'd wrestle some more. And get him to sort of acknowledge what he was doing, but I don't know.
Those guys are like my family here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like I can't treat them like family anymore because everything feels so delicate, you know.
Yeah.
And then my real family is so far away, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
This is the kind of thing that, like, you know. I don't know. Usually, like, no one would blink an eye about helping me out with or something, you know, or, but, you know, my sisters would, like, you know, like, wouldn't even think twice about, or, you know.
Through my mental Rolodex of people in Los Angeles. It's too bad Dan Carlin's not still there.
Have a brownie pan.
I have a brownie pan.
Are you gonna make me some brownies?
Yeah, and I have the recipe in Ernie's handwriting.
Oh.
And it's so easy. And they're so good. The trick is to undercook them.
I see. So they're gooey.
Yeah, because if they get too dry, they don't taste like. Well, if they get too dry, they taste like brownies. They don't taste like flourless chocolate cake.
I see.
Like, the kind with the warm middle, you know?
Yeah.
the warm, gooey middle.
I wish you were here and you could make me brownies right now.
What'd you say?
I said, I wish you were here and you could make me brownies right now.
I would make you brownies, although we have to go to the store first because it requires one obscure ingredient, which is baking chocolate, which I don't think you have, and I know I don't have.
No, I don't have it.
Yeah.
I bet I have everything else but that.
Mm-hmm. Did you say nuts?
Huh?
Did you say you have? You bet you have everything. Oh, bet you have everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It calls for nuts, but you don't add them because then that gives it away that it's really brownies and not flour with chocolate cake.
Oh, right. Yes. Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry that I've been doing everything wrong and missing all the cues tonight.
Baby. You know, it's just because you're mad because people are being jerks to me, you know?
Yeah. I just want to be your tough boyfriend and go beat the shit out of him.
Okay, I'll give you Emma's phone number.
Okay, I'll go you have go. My boys and me will go kick the shit out of him.
You go kick the shit out of him. Funny thing is, I feel like you'd be crying too if you're in this situation. You know?
Yeah, I would be crying, and then I'd get really angry, and then I would have a bitch fit, and I would totally, you know, be calling the insurance company until I was speaking with the general manager. You know. And I would draft a big, long letter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone in my insurance company has been very friendly so far. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I scraped the nose of my car. I skinned its nose.
You skinned its nose?
I was trying to park in the space. It was way too small.
That was overzealous of you.
And it bumped up against, I mean, really badly. Like, really obviously, not badly, but obviously. Like, hit the back of the front left corner when I was backing in. Like, rubbed up against for about 2 inches. And so there's, like, maybe an inch. There's, like, four different little, maybe half a square centimeter, like 5 millimeters by 2 millimeter long, 1 to 2 millimeter long sort of sections where the surface of the bumper has been removed, like scraped off, and it's black underneath.
You can get touch-up paint that matches the paint of your car.
That's probably what I'll have to do. I don't have to, but I have a feeling it's not.
Give it at the dealership.
What'd you say?
I said it's not very expensive. You can get it at the dealership.
Yeah, I would guess that it's also not the last time that's going to happen.
No, the car is always stuck at school scratch.
It's fucking New York City. I mean, I've had two people rear-end me. You know, at less than, both of them have been less than, you know, 10 miles an hour, less than 10 miles an hour, you know, in like 6 months of driving. So.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Because I really miss you. I wish you were here.
I know, I miss you too. I wish you were here. Because this is a nice apartment that we have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you liking it?
I am liking it. It's quiet, and it's nice, and it's big, and it's quiet, and it's nice. And the bed is really comfy.
Is it big? In my mind, it's small.
Which, the apartment or the bed?
The apartment.
The bed's really big. I don't know. Depends on how you look at things. I was living in a room that was like 8x10, and the bed was on a loft, and there was about 3 feet above the surface of the mattress.
Yeah, I know. You were living in like, I don't know, like 12 cubic feet of space or something.
I was living in about 40 cubic feet of space. So, considering that is a lot of space. Put it this way, like, I haven't really even been downstairs, you know?
Right.
I haven't even really...
Well, you have no furniture, so there's no reason to go downstairs.
Right. Well, I just have been taking stuff down there that should go down there, and I think I'm going to set my computer up down there. So.
Hi.
I liked your pictures of from the sky.
From the sky, yeah.
That was kind of crazy.
Oh, you mean the aerial pictures I sent you today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sierra was telling me that U-Haul has like live feeds from satellites of like all of the cars on their lot.
That'll be easy to do.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that they know like where like all of the cars, all of them are. I think it's probably for like big ones, you know, where there's lots of cars.
I tried to find a satellite photo aerial view of the Skokie house. But the one that I found was of when it was an empty lot. The house wasn't built yet.
That's fun.
Yeah. I found a photo of my old place in West Hollywood. And one of Loma Vista.
One of Loma Vista.
The one, like, the color stuff is spotty. It's like, there's, like, tons in, like, all of Southern California was done, like, last year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the rest of the country is a little spotty.
You should try my parents' house.
Yeah, I wanted to. I just didn't know their address.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
I'm not by a pen.
Okay.
Maybe I'll remember. What is it?
It's 3012 Southwest Nottingham.
Southwest Nottingham?
Okay. Yeah, just SW. Southwest SW.
Okay.
Nottingham. Which is Nottingham.
3012. That's funny. The house one of the houses I lived in as a little kid was 3002.
And that's like Nottingham Drive, and it's Portland, Oregon 97201. That just would probably be pretty cool because there will be almost no right angles.
Yeah, I thought that one. I wanted to look up that one. I thought it would be cool.
And like a weird representation of elevation change. There won't be, right? But there will. There is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had this flash of thinking of like, whoa, what would San Francisco look like in one of those? And then I was thinking, whoa, what would Lombard Street look like in San Francisco? And I was thinking about the buildings, and I was like, God, what would it be like to live in that, in one of those places? I was like, you know, some people must, like, own those houses with immense pride of being on that, you know, that curviest, like, the curviest, steepest street, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I can also imagine it being so fucking annoying to have this steady stream of cars going by your house at 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would be really annoying. I'm looking at it now for you. Was it southwest?
What's that?
Southwest?
Yeah.
Northwest. Oh, yep, yeah, there's one. There's a satellite photo from 2002. It's not very detailed.
Oh.
Really, you can see a lot of trees covering everything up. Let me see, there's an aerial photo from 2000.
What does that look like?
It looks like a forest, baby. With little houses scattered.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I was gonna look for my dad's house, but I doubt that they've done like something so rural. You know, like these are all like the urban areas surveys.
Yeah.
I can find my mom's. I wonder.
They might. You should try it to see if it's there, because I bet they've. I don't know. I feel like,
but it's like in the major cities, it's like you can see like everything. You know, you can get really, really, really close.
Right.
But in like other areas, it's not as detailed. Like they've gone over it, but it's like you can't get as close.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would expect them to have surveyed the entirety of the country in there.
Oh no, they've surveyed the whole country. It's just certain areas they've gone really, really in depth. So like in urban areas. Oh, there's a aerial, there's no satellite data, but there's an aerial photo from 1998.
Of your dad's house, like the sort of square block or...
Of the street. Oh, wow, no, this is definitely it. I recognize, like, the shape of the neighborhood. It's so funny. Yep, there's the house I grew up in.
That's funny.
It's right there. It's funny. Now I'm going to find my mom's house, so I can remember that. It's just going to look like a crazy suburban housing development. There's an art project waiting in here somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no. My mom. Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
What is? Why?
I'm looking at a satellite photo of my mom's street, and it's just like so, like all the houses are so cookie cutter, you can't tell them apart, you know.
You couldn't tell which one's your mom's.
I'm not really sure, you know.
Yeah.
I think I can tell. I think it's just from the shape of the streets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know which one hers is when you curl around this curve, but like they're all identical.
That's funny.
Oh wait, no. Let's see. Is this from? Yeah, no. It's like, it's really amazing. It's so funny. Our new place is very, the neighborhood's very distinctive in the aerial photo.
I know, it's really distinctive.
Yeah.
Looks like fucking Paris, or Rome, or something.
Yeah, it's because we, like, live at the Arc de Triomphe.
The fucking American knockoff of the Arc de Triomphe.
Why is that there? What is the story of Grand Army Plaza?
I don't know. We're going to have to figure out the story of Grand Army Plaza. I think that's...
It's an important story to tell visitors upon their visit.
That's one of our first tasks, is figuring that one out.
Like, for instance, if my grandparents, like, come and set foot in New York City, as they put it, then...
Yeah, there your grandfather's going to want, like, at least...
Oh, he's going to want to know everything about
about the sculpture. Or about the monument.
I'm not the Brooklyn's Triumph and Arch. Come on.
Yeah.
I gotta know. I talked to Kathleen today.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, I mean, her sister, I told you, like, they bought a place, like, on the next street over.
Yeah.
Like, they still live in the same, they live, like, one block or, like, away or something.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, like, I was, like, you know, I was just, like, explaining to Kathleen where our place is, and she was just, like, laughing at me, like, because, like, she knew exactly where it was. She was like, come on, I park over there all the time.
I just opened the windows in here because it was really hot when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's cold.
I guess their new place is actually on the circle.
Yeah, that's what I figured. That's what would suit a international lawyer, a international trade lawyer, or whatever her sister is. Was I right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just like international corporate law.
Yeah. So. With a doorman and stuff. I am going to make some tea.
Yeah. My head hurts.
Your head hurts. Does your head hurt because you're dehydrated, or is your head hurt because your head was consternated?
Probably both. I think it was consternation and crying.
Yeah. Consternation was a euphemism for crying. You should have tea with me.
That means I have to get out of my bed.
Oh, your head's not going to feel better unless you get out of your bed. I can tell you that. I actually had to get out of my bed just now because otherwise my head was just getting stuffed up and stuffed up. Hello?
I am here.
Hi. Hello?
Hi.
What is it?
Nothing.
You're turning into a little Julia smudge.
Yeah.
A little smudge of Julia.
Mm-hmm. A little smudge. Hi.
What?
Hi. Dude, I'm only here for 6 more weeks.
I know.
It's going so fast.
I know.
And I have so much to do.
I know. You have a lot to do.
Kind of overwhelming. In fact, it's really overwhelming.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do.
Huh?
There's a lot of stuff to do. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought that line went dead. water is boiling.
Here. I'm just thinking about, I just can't believe I have to pack up the schoolhouse by myself. And deal with all this TT stuff and figure out how to move the cats and plan a cross country trip and I don't know, it's a lot. Talk to me.
I don't know what the answer is. It's a lot. Moving is hard. And you hate it.
What?
And you hate it.
I hate it.
I don't know. I guess I would say to you that you should take pleasure in certain, and stop and take pleasure in some of this work, you know, like the same way you would tell me to take pleasure in the staying still, you know, and to take pleasure in the feeling comfortable in one place. I would tell you to feel to take pleasure in the ability or the moment of, purging, the moment of, getting rid of your stuff, some of your stuff, you know, choosing, don't think of it as like getting rid of stuff, but choose, think of it as like, you know, choosing what you want to remain remain yours.
It's like I'm hemorrhaging money, you know?
Yeah. Well, on account of the move, on account of the car wreck crash.
Like, the move, the car crash, the move, the car crash, the quitting my job, the, like, going back to school, like, everything, you know?
Well, I don't think you can really say you're hemorrhaging money because you're quitting your job, you know? Like, you're quitting your job, which is just, you know, cutting off your source. You know, your previous source. And as far as going back to school, I think that, just really put that in perspective. Think about all the other, you know, the other people that aren't getting the tuition remission and the stipend, you know? Like, let's talk about hemorrhaging money. How much did we figure out it was? About $35,000 for the year?
Yeah.
Was that right? 30,000?
Okay, never mind. I'm just scared.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to discount your scaredness. You know? I'm just trying to make you feel better about it and put it in perspective. Am I doing the wrong thing again?
No.
Hello?
I didn't even know I was sad until I called you.
No. That's fine. I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
UFO. Oh.
Maybe you're right, but maybe I do need tea.
I think you need tea. I haven't even started my tea yet. You can still have tea with me. Because you know how lukewarm I like it.
You know, you like it practically cold.
No, I like it warm, not hot.
I like it tepid.
I don't like that. That has bad connotations. Did you like my beard picture that I sent you?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Did you see it off?
It's gone.
Not yet. Huh?
It's gone. I took it off with the clippers. I don't really feel like shaving properly.
I guess there's not much point in it if I'm not there.
There's not much point in it if you're not there or I'm not going to some kind of something that I have to be proper for.
Right.
Be that, you know, a party at Katrina's house or some meeting with some dean or something, you know, at school. Are you making tea?
Huh?
Are you making tea?
Yeah, I put the water on top.
What kind of tea are you going to have? Mint?
Yeah.
It seems to be your favorite these days.
It is tea.
I'm having mango passion fruit. The people from the tea place in California in San Francisco that I mail ordered for, I bought off their website, called me back to say, yes, it seems your package was returned because it was UPS and it was sent to a post office box and we see that you and we see that you said that on here, but we didn't really see that at the time, so our apologies. Would you like us to send this back USPS, or is there another address to send this to? And I was like, just send it to my new address. I put in a comment.
Yeah, I read them too.
It was pretty silly. It's like, they didn't notice it, and I put in a big comment in the comment field. It was like, this is a P.O. box. Contact me if you can't ship there.
Right.
I guess they're in San Francisco and they're, you know, too busy smelling the roses.
There's a helicopter flying by.
Hi, Weezy.
Actually, it sounded more like...
yeah. Weezy.
When Chibi says hi, too, it sounded more like...
She's funny. That which baby of yours?
I'm funny, girls.
Hello.
can't believe I'm really moving.
I know. I really moved.
For that, I know.
I'm here. Like, for real.
Dude, that's not shocking.
Well, it was pretty. I mean, it's like, I'm still... Well, I mean, earlier today when I was visualizing the space I was in, as if I couldn't just look around and see whether I thought things would fit, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of still is not real to me, even though I'm actually here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I woke up this morning and I really did... I mean, I had the quintessential, like, first week in the apartment, like, oh my God, where am I? And faced myself, like, in about, you know... 2 seconds or maybe 1 second, I kind of like shifted and placed myself in 5 different places where I've lived trying to figure out where I was. You know?
Yeah.
Like replacing floor plan after floor plan, you know, locating the bathroom, locating the you know, the kitchen.
Right.
Until I remembered where I was.
Had to go.
Oh, I see.
It's time for paying. Did I talk to you after talk to Lindsay?
No.
She said that we can, I don't know if I already told you this or not, I can't remember, but she said we can definitely have the sofa bed thing.
Yeah, I think you told me that. No, I do remember because you told me they were going to revisit the scene of the crime. Your words, not mine.
Right. Yeah.
Any word on that big rug?
Oh, I didn't ask about that yet.
Honestly, I think it's too big for any of these rooms.
But... yeah, it's probably too big. It's probably the wrong format. I'm not really sure how big it is. It's probably too big. Hello?
I'm here. I'm just drinking the tea. How's your tea coming?
It's good. I'm drinking. And destroying my hairband.
Destroying your hairband?
Yeah.
Destroying your hairband like a little kitty cat?
Less playful, more destructive.
Why are you destroying your hairband?
In a bad mood.
I see.
I don't know what to do when I have unstructured free time, like today, after work. I need more good fiction in my house. I'm out of books.
Out of books.
It's very best to eat when I run out of books.
Well, you know what the good news is?
Yeah.
I bet NYU has a fucking incredible library.
I'm sure they do. And I'm sure there's like 8 of them.
I'm sure those are new. Plus, you're gonna have plenty to read.
I don't have plenty to read. I don't think free time is gonna be one of my problems. I feel like I watch TV when I go home from work. I watched King of the Hill and The Simpsons. Kind of retarded, but it distracted me for an hour. Mm. I actually really love The Simpsons a lot.
Yeah, The Simpsons are pretty funny. Pretty fucking funny.
Hi. What do you think?
Oh, I was just looking at this postcard that I had in my hand.
The postcard?
It's a like a opening, like an art fair opening postcard.
Oh.
The Digital and Video Art Fair. 2005, New York. Diva.
I wish you could rub my back.
Aww. How's your back doing?
It's kind of creaky. I'm going to yoga again tomorrow, which will probably simultaneously be good for it and hurt.
Yeah.
Yoga's really hard on Sunday.
Tomorrow's Sunday? Oh, yeah. On Sunday. I was going to say, wait, tomorrow's not Sunday. I'm confused. What day is it?
Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Which is the easy yoga usually, right?
And it's also the lots of personal attention yoga.
Yeah, it's the Sundays that kick that people's assholes so they stop coming. So only the really, really zealous ones come.
And I think I'm gonna go with X-Teen goes to a yoga class down on Seal Beach Boulevard or something on Fridays at like 5:30. So I'm gonna go with her.
That's a really good way to spend your rush hour.
It's a much better way than being in rush hour.
Avoid your rush hour. It's better, and it's even better than going for dinner or going for retail therapy. What did I tell you about retail therapy? My grandmother, who has like, depending on which doctor is talking, between 3 and 6 weeks left to live.
God.
That's what they're talking. I mean, they're talking like 2 months, 2.5 months at the longest. She's giving everything away, right? When people are coming, like she sent my mom home with like some great aunt's brooch or something like that, you know. And anyway, she's like. Trying to get rid of things because she knows she's about to, you know, be to go. She insisted that someone, she has this, you know, at this point, you know, I think that she has someone who's with her pretty much all the time. And, she insisted that she be taken to Target because she needed to go shopping for some new t-shirts.
Wow. Well, that's kind of life-affirming, you know?
Yeah, it's like chemotherapy. She can't do chemotherapy because she's too weak, so she might as well do retail therapy, I guess.
Why not? Whatever makes her feel better, you know? If she wants some new t-shirts, why the fuck not, you know?
It's pretty interesting because Mom was saying that part of what's really hard about it is, you know, she and Papa have been lifelong kind of open atheists, you know, cultural Jews, but, you know, atheists.
Right, so there's no fantasy of going to a better place.
Or no.
I mean, like, I'm just dying.
Yeah, I'm just dying. And you know, and Jack isn't, you know, her husband isn't there. Jack isn't there, you know. Jack is gone,
well,
too.
Be really terrifying.
And so she's in this, you know, she's kind of miserable in this, you know, space. And, like, it's this kind of, it's kind of like a flip of, you know, of the temptation of the devil, you know, where it's like, it's actually the temptation of God, which is in this context, you know, the devil, you know, where she's sort of like in a position where, you know, she says, you know, it would be so much easier if I just believed, you know, and I want to just so it would be easier, but I don't, you know.
Right.
And, yeah. It's kind of interesting because it's the first I've, like, she used to be an extremely, you know, sharp-witted, extremely intelligent, really, really open-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
As did Papa. She more than Papa. You know, over the last 10 years, they both, you know, faded. You know, Papa until his death a year ago. And she's sort of faded from being that, you know, and it's kind of been heartening to hear. I haven't actually had this conversation with her. I called her and she only talked to me for about 2 minutes because it was late and she was really tired. But, you know, it makes me feel good to hear that, you know, she's really still thinking, you know, on that level, you know.
Right.
And she's still fiery. Even though she stopped dyeing her hair a while ago. Trying to make it look red. Old lady red, which isn't really red. It's kind of like...
And yeah, the hair just doesn't want to hold pigment after a certain point.
It's like rosé wine. Or blush, is it blush?
My grandma's hair is kind of peach. It's been like a pale peach for
a Yeah, it's like, who has peach-colored hair? It's so funny. It's funny it's funny the old grandmas that were offended by, like, you know, punk rockers and goth kids that had pink hair.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yourselves.
So they all have, like, blue or pink hair. It's so funny.
Look at yourselves. If you just wish you could get a hold of their fucking manic panic.
Mm-hmm.
How was your tea?
Oh, I drank some of it and then I laid down. Yeah, my back and neck are still really creaky. Hi, dude.
Did I tell you that Dan Carlin is taking the Foreign Service exam?
No.
Yeah. He's taking the Foreign Service exam, which means, like, becoming a U.S. diplomat or something like that.
Don't you have to have, like, insanely high-level foreign language skills to do that?
Well, he has pretty good Spanish. I don't think it's, like, profound Spanish.
Hello?
I don't know. I don't...
Hello? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I couldn't for a second. I asked Did you hear my question?
Yeah, you have to have foreign language. Yeah, he's fluent in Spanish, but he doesn't have. I mean, he's kind of like level one fluent, not level two or three or four fluent.
Right. Like, you have to be. I mean, you have to be like level four fluent to be a diplomat.
Right. But you probably only have to be like level one fluent to be like a diplomat's assistant's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't think he's going to make, I don't think he's going to be able to sit there and stomach, you know, what's the right word? A mouthpiece for, you know, U.S. foreign policy, which he completely and utterly disapproves of. And I'll see how, we'll see how long it takes him to realize that. I think that he really just sees this as a way to be employed as a expatriate. So.
Dan really is on an adventure, huh?
He's on an adventure. Oh, so on one hand, he's, studying for the U.S. Foreign Service exam with a textbook that doesn't have answers in it. Now, how poetic is that in terms of what he's trying to do? The textbook doesn't have answers. Only has the questions. Doesn't have the answers. And on the other hand, he is playing semi-professional basketball for a club called Arquitectura.
What does semi-professional mean?
That's what I asked him. Semi-professional, there's four levels of basketball in Argentina. There's A-League, B-League, C-League, and D-League. There's no division, really, between things in the way that, like, there's professional club, you know, there's professional teams. There's college teams, there's a couple of other leagues in the United States, and then there's like all kinds of other sort of regional sort of club leagues. There's like organized leagues of all levels. So D-League is like guys who are, playing on the weekends. Organized, but, you know, not incredibly organized. C-League is like... you know, former competitive people who want to play really competitively, but, aren't quite as dedicated. B League, like, is where Dan is, which is like the semi-pro level, where I guess, like, you know, he doesn't have to pay for, you know, like, they get all, you know, their jerseys, their team is sponsored, like, they get their jerseys, they get their shoes, they get their, you know, their coaches, you know, are paid for.
Oh, okay. So they don't have to pay to be part of the club.
They don't have to be part of the club. They don't have to pay for their, you know, their any of their workout stuff. They don't have to pay for their bus rides to the, you know, or to the wherever. And they're doing his visa. So it's like
they're gonna get visa.
It's legitimate enough that he can get a visa through it. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess like. You know, there's the league above them. Like the good players from this league go on, you know, go on to the A League where people do get paid.
Right.
And it's really funny because Dan actually talked. I don't know if you remember or I told you this.
I remember you mentioning that him talking about doing something like that.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I could, you know, I could play semi-professional, you know, and you know maybe could make, you know, play pro. I was like, you're kidding me. He's like, no. You know, it's like, wow, okay, sure, whatever. And here he is playing semi-professional basketball in Argentina. I guess the thing is there's not too many big men.
No.
And at 6'6", or 6'4", 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", he's not that big, you know, in terms of basketball player height.
Right.
You know, 6'4", is like small forward, you know, that's pushing it. So... he's, but down there, apparently he's, like, the biggest guy on the team. Both, like, he's half an inch taller than two other guys, but they're both, like, 200 pounds, and he's, like, 230. He's a big broad boy. How did I get on the Dan Carlin?
How's his love affair going?
Oh, his love affair is probably going to end soon.
Really?
Well, he kind of realized that... Well, it's going to end whenever he leaves. I think that he's kind of realizing that it's not what he should be doing long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's sort of seeing conflicts about, you know... He's seeing them on the horizon, you know, just basic personality conflicts.
Right.
So, the kind of stuff that, yeah, it's sort of like if he were to continue it, it would, you know, he would have to, it would just, yeah. Yeah. So, which is really good because for a while, like, I thought his, you know, remember when he sent me that email that was like, I'm going to have to do something like that too, you know? Like when he was talking about like our project, you know, and like the
oh, right. Distance. Uh-huh.
Did I tell you about that?
No.
He said something to the effect of like, hey, I took a look at your project. That's really cool. Blah, 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 you know? And we got to talk, man. We got to talk because, you know, I'm like, you know, it looks like I'm going to be doing something like that too. And I was like, you are not doing an international long-distance relationship, Dan Carlin. Because,
mm-hmm.
First of all, that's the wrong way to deal with the INS. Second of all, do you really want to deal with the INS? You know, anyway, I'm thinking this. And so then he tells me, and really he meant he was going to do an art project.
Huh. Right.
He, apparently... And of course, it's I don't know. I have to write back to him about it. But it's like he wants to. Apparently, there's something that like all of the women in Buenos Aires. He seems to say that there are an inordinate number of pregnant women in Buenos Aires, and none of them wear. They all wear their regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They all wear their regular clothes, which are skimpy to begin with.
Right.
So it's like all of
Hollywood, all the pregnant girls like just wear their normal clothes. They just like check their like they have their jeans that are so low cut. They're like Britney Spears jeans that just like button up below their belly, and then they just have their shirts like.
They have their shirts how? That. How do they have their shirts?
Huh? The shirts just kind of like are kind of like baby tees or something, and then they have like the exposed pregnant belly. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so he's like totally obsessed with this, you know, and. So I'm going to, we'll see, maybe I'll Xerox him some, you know, Laura Mulvey. He's already read Laura Mulvey. Although Laura Mulvey, I know, is a very specific blah, 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 blah. You know, but apparently it's quite a surreal.
Quite a thing. Scene.
Quite a scene. So he wanted to photograph them. He wanted to know what I thought of that. I said, that's a long, long conversation, and you've got 30 seconds left on your phone card, Dan. So.
Have you heard anything from Peter?
I spoke to Peter yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, the day before. Anyway. And Carly moved in with him.
Oh, okay.
Into this tiny little place. Which you will see. It's tiny. It's about the size... It's a little bit bigger than our living room kitchen combo.
Are you kidding me? That's no. Tiny.
It's a little bit skinnier and a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Murphy bed. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous inside. But, yeah, it's small. So, she moved in there, and it's longer than this. I'm not giving it credit.
Huh?
I'm not giving it credit. Maybe it's the size of our kitchen and bathroom.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah, Carly moved in. What else? Peter's there, and Peter here's on April 1st. from SVA.
He's supposed to hear on or before April 1st. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know anything yet.
Doesn't know anything yet. His plans are something around the order of, like, get out of town, sell his place, and put his place on the market in May, and get out of town. I don't quite get this part, but go to France for 3 weeks and run. Yeah. So he's going to go run in France for 3 weeks, then he's going to come back to Portland. Via Portland, or maybe he's just going to go straight to New York, find a place to live, then fly back and drive out with the stuff at the end of, like, August, September or something.
Got it.
So, school starts, like, the 11th of September. So, and his plans are still, you know, to be here one way or another.
Okay, got it.
So.
Well, I hope it gets in.
Yeah, I hope so, too. So. And apparently, Mom saw him and was talking to him. Mom said, apparently, Peter's talking up quite a game, was a phrase she used? Talking a big story about moving to New York and buying a building in New York.
Uh-huh.
So.
Did you get that article I sent you from the New York Times?
These
friends who bought this townhouse?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It seemed like a slightly different thing, but, still totally relevant. Hello?
Hi. I mean, it's a completely different price bracket, but it seems like they did the same thing.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm peeing. Except that, except that they put a lot of work into each one. They didn't even put a lot of work into it. They completely...
They gutted it, yeah.
They didn't just gut it. They, like... I mean, like gutting usually means like taking off the walls and going down to the.
Did they like replace the windows? Like made them bigger.
They removed the floors.
Right.
They took the floors out and put the floors back in. All they were left with was not like the shell of the apartments. They were left with the shell
of the building,
because like the beams supporting the floors were too small. They said, or they decided, or they felt once they got down that far, and the whole facade was crumbling. They basically rebuilt the fucking building.
I know.
They might as well have bought land.
I just meant like in terms of like each party owning a floor of it.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the other reason why it's a little bit different also is it was a high enough price bracket that like it makes like it's probably easier to turn it into a condo or a co-op or whatnot.
Right.
You know.
Well, it sounds like after all that work, like, they're not going to be moving for a long time.
Yeah, really.
Like, they want to live there, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing is it's like, I don't know. I feel like it really doesn't make that much sense to put that much into put into a building in the kind of context that we're in, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't trying to suggest that. It was just like, I don't know.
I just think it's important to, I think it's useful to learn, like, by comparison, you know, like, what it means.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh.
Where are you?
I'm in the bedroom.
Oh.
And I am... Oh, shit. Dropping things. I'm dropping things. I'm getting my bag and I'm emptying it, which I just did. And now I'm going to throw it down the stairs. Because there's no one below those stairs. No one below that floor. Hello?
I'm here. I'm just listening.
Oh.
I like to listen to you.
I'm not saying anything all that interesting. So I figure you must either be bored or have disappeared off the other end of the phone.
No, I'm here. I just want you to talk to
you. Okay. I saw Sherry and Ernie's early work.
You did? I thought that was funny.
1976 or 7. Ernie's 30 and he looks really young. He looks kind of old and young. He's like 29 or something, because Sherry said that when he was 30 he cut off his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this disaster film that she keeps talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. I couldn't really watch it because it was like, it's a split screen, and we were like, she was, you know, futzing with the sink on it, you know, to get them synced up. So I'm going to wait until it's all properly synced, and then I'll actually sit down and watch
it.
Right. And then she also had this other film they made in like 1979 or 1980 called Shoplifting. It's a crime? ?
And what?
Shoplifting, what? It's a crime? And in it, Ernie instructs the viewer on how to shoplift.
Okay.
Meanwhile, like the whole time, like, you know, carrying on a sort of discussion of what it means to shoplift and what private property means, and
right,
you know, they generally carry on as the anarchists they are.
Mm. Sounds kind of great.
Yeah, I didn't really watch much of that one because it was they were capturing it, and I'm gonna have plenty of time to look at them as I'm helping her get them onto DVD. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let her futz with all of the redoing of the titles and all of that.
Right.
So it was pretty cool to see, though.
Is there any particular reason they're kind of like remastering their old stuff? Or?
Because I haven't seen it in like 20 years, because I don't have a Super 8 projector, and
right,
because they're going to give a talk at 16 Beaver. I think that's probably the real reason. They're giving a talk at 16 Beaver Group, and which is like an artist run space.
Okay, got it.
And Sherry wanted to show this. Partly because the person who's invited her is her old friend from when she lived in New York, and like, she was like her best friend for like, you know, when she's the only person. I don't think Ernie acted. Maybe Ernie did. Who, I don't remember if Ernie went and saw like the place where she grew up in the projects in Canarsie, but this girl did. This woman. She's now a woman. You know, she's a girl then. So they were part of the Situationist group they were in New York. So I think she wants to show this. Although they made it in San Francisco, so it must have been a slightly different time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Got it.
Yeah, it's great. It seems like it's a really good piece, actually. You know, I keep hearing about this, you know, disaster film, blah blah blah. You know, and I'm like, okay, let's see it. But it, I mean, not that I'd ever doubt them, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's like in an in another context. I mean, it's so funny if they had if they had just, you know, answered their phone, you know, answered their phone, called people back, you know, wrote, you know, like followed up on a couple of, you know, if they just followed up, like that film would probably be up there with, you know, with you know, the semiotics of the kitchen. You know, it's like it's really, you know, yeah. It's really obviously, you know, of the same era, of the same quality, of the same, you know. Yeah, and they just didn't answer their phone. They still don't answer their phone.
I know they don't. Believe me, I hear more than I want to about how they don't answer their phone.
Oh, from.
The girls.
Oh, because they try to call.
Yeah. Dude, can you crawl in? I wish you could crawl into my bed and spoon me.
Oh, okay. I'll crawl into your bed. I'll crawl into the bed and spoon you. I'll crawl into our new bed and spoon you. How's that? Wait, I have to. Okay, I got it. I have this the Julia pillow. I'm swooning baby tiger in the Julia pillow. Do you know the Julia pillow? Do you know what the Julia pillow is?
I don't know what's a pillow that is it my pillow?
It's your pillow, but it's also the pillow that I pretend is you when you're not here and I spoon it. So you have to pretend like I'm spooning you. Okay. Let me give you a little hump hump.
You pet my head.
And I nibble your shoulder like a bunny rabbit.
Like a bunny rabbit. Because you're my red bunny.
I am a red bunny rabbit. Red bunny rabbit. Yeah. Red bunny rabbit.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
I love you.
I love you too.
I can't wait to see you.
I know, I can't wait to see you here. You're gonna be in Portland. You're gonna be in Portland.
Yeah.
There's so many prizes waiting for me in Portland.
There are prizes?
Yeah, there's you, and there's Steven, and there's Wonder Dog.
I know, that's a lot of prizes. I can't believe I'm going to finally meet the elusive Steven.
You know, I haven't seen him in so long.
I can't imagine like not seeing one of my sisters for as long as like you've not seen your brother.
Yeah.
Oh, it just makes me cry.
I think we have a different relationship.
Yeah, I guess.
I have kind of the same relationship I have with Steven than I do with Charles, actually.
really have
Actually, there's a lot of similar patterns, I think. One of which is that we can go a long time without seeing each other and like be very in sync when we do see each other. Which means that we are able to perform multi-part harmony songs while dancing. Because I said we're in sync. Ha ha ha. That was a really bad joke. Like, there's the ability to go a long time without talking. We communicate mostly by email. And, we're very close, but, we are not often very close by.
Right.
Which is part of why I want, I'm like, yeah. I'm so... I'm so interested in, like, creating a situation whereby, a number of the people closest to me can live in the same roof, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even describe how happy it would make me to live in the same roof as, you know, Charles and Peter and you and...
When was the last time you saw Steven?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember when the last time I saw him. That's how long ago. It might have been... It might have been before he left. It might have been when he, before he left a year and a half ago. Is that right? No. I think he came home for like a Christmas. It's like a year and that, like 14 months ago. I think.
So just this just. Was he home when you were at home just this past?
No, he wasn't home this past.
Oh, so a year before.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't even imagine. Was I would have back? Had to hop on a plane to Japan.
Or was he back this... Was he back this past summer? No, I feel like I haven't seen him for like 14 months. But that's sort of complicated by, like, the fact that I've seen him on, you know, iChat, you know. And I get confused. It's a long time, huh?
A really long time.
Yeah. He's totally ready to be done.
Mm-hmm.
He's so totally ready to be done. Poor Steven.
Great. How are you doing? Are you sleepy, dude? It's like 12:45.
Oh, yeah, I'm sleepy. I'm sleepy. I'm sleepy, dude.
You must be so low to the ground.
I know, it's a little freaky to be so low to the ground.
We need a bed frame.
No, I mean, it's perfectly normal. It's just not, you know, 8 feet in the air.
Oh, right, I see.
I meant, like, low to the ground in comparison to 8 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm. That must be nice.
Yeah, it's kind of pleasant.
You have all this space above you.
Yeah, and I can just roll out of bed and go pee in the middle of the night. Not have to, like...
The ladder was definitely the worst part.
Wake up enough to concentrate so as to not fall climbing down the ladder.
So ladder was difficult in the middle of the night. It made me realize how much I enjoyed the pleasure of stumbling to the bathroom and peeing half awake. There's a real pleasure in it, and like of both of the like stumbling and also the peeing feels really good to be relieved. And it was awful because I'd have to hold it. I'd have to be like, no, you have to go back to bed. You're not getting up now. It's too much of a pain in the ass. Sleep, damn it. And so I'd have to sleep.
That's not good. That's
not healthy. And you wake up and your bladder's like cramping. Yeah. No longer.
No longer. Now you can pee freely.
I pee freely. That's me.
You pee freely.
Oh.
Hi. I'm getting sleepy.
Yeah, it's bedtime for Bonzos and also for me and you.
You gonna go to bed?
I go to bed, you go to bed.
I think maybe a little more and maybe
no. Okay. Nighty, nighty.
Okay, nighty, now you sleep too, okay?
Okay, dude.
Okay.